It's April 4th. And how many of you know what happened on April 4th? Any of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Larry LaPrise? Larry LaPrise. You probably don't know him, but you probably would know his song. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out. You put your right foot in, then you shake it all about. You know what that song is? That's a hokey pokey. Mr. LaPrise was one of them that wrote that song. He died April 4th, 1996. And, you know, that's not, it may be important to some people, but, you know, I know it's not one of the great moving things of all time. I know that. But the reason I bring that up for is because there's one verse in that song that says, after you put all your body parts in, after you take them all out and you shake them all about, it said, then you turn yourself around, and what's it say at the end of it? That's what it's all about. Well, I'm here to tell you something this morning, that if you're considering that's what it's all about your eternal existence, and what it's about your life now, I'm here to tell you that's not what it's all about. I believe it's about a man named Jesus. I believe it's about a cross. I believe it's about a resurrection. And I believe it's about one of these days you and I are going to live with Him as Christian people. I believe that's what it's all about. Now, you know, I tell you that because I'm going to be over in John chapter 18. And I'm also going to be in Luke chapter 22. And you'll get my point here in a little bit. But anyway, if you would turn to John 18:10 first, we'll read it, then we'll go to Luke. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. And if you would, turn over to Luke chapter 22, verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. I want to talk a little bit today about Malchus, is what I want to talk about. And the reason I bring that up, and the reason I brought up that last part of the hokey pokey is because no matter how insignificant you think a character may be in the Bible, I want you to know something here this morning, that everything, if we look into it deep enough, has a meaning for us as Christians, has something that we can take from it as a Christian. And I believe this incident that happened with Malchus, this incident we read here this morning, I believe that we can learn from this. And you could say, why would I bring up Malchus? Well, why didn't I bring up Pontius Pilate? Why didn't I do Judas? Why didn't I bring Barabbas? For the very fact that I mentioned to you there just a minute ago, brothers and sisters, you know what? I believe we can learn life lessons as Christians from what happened here with Malchus. I believe that. Let us pray, then we'll get into the rest of the sermon, please. Father, as we come, Lord, here this morning, I come with nothing but praise in my heart. I want to thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you've given, Lord. I want to thank you for those that have gathered out here this morning. And I pray, Father, that through all that's gathered here today, Lord, I pray, Father, that the word would go out. The message would be preached the way that you would want it to be preached. And praise God, I love you. And I thank you for all that you've given. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Now, let's have a little bit of background here before we go farther with this character called Malchus. We know Jesus has already finished with the Passover Supper. We realize now that he is going and taking his disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he leaves part of them at the edge of the Garden of Gethsemane. And he takes the rest, his inner circle, which is James, John, and Peter, and he goes on a little bit farther into the Garden of Gethsemane. And after he gets into there, it says that he goes a stone's throw from them and goes a little bit farther, and Jesus Christ gets down to pray. And you know what? It tells us that he is praying in agony. Does it not tell us that? It says Jesus himself went, look, it said, I believe the reason why he did this, the reason why he's praying that way is because the sins of all mankind were going to be placed upon him. Amen? Isaiah 53:6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And listen to this last part of this. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, you and me both are responsible for the way Jesus Christ was praying in the garden that night. You say amen to that? Me and you both. I believe I was responsible for it. And I believe if you check yourself and you'll be honest with yourself, you'll know that you were responsible for it too. My Bible tells me that blood, the sweat like blood had been poured out, with the agony of where he was taking all this upon him. And I'll tell you what. After he prays a little bit, he comes back and he finds Peter, James, and John. What were they doing? They were asleep. Exactly. And he said he goes back and he prays some more. And then he comes back and finds them asleep again. And then he goes back and he comes back again the third time and he finds them asleep again. And you know what he told them? He told them this one time. He said, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, you and I can learn a lesson from that right there. And I'm not even to the main point of the sermon yet. We need to watch and pray because our spirits are weak, are they not? I know mine is. I know there's many a times. And whenever I read these words, I believe in my heart he's talking to you and me just the same way today. We need to watch. We need to pray. We need to be on guard. All right, we also know that Judas has already struck a deal to betray Jesus. Do we not know that already? He's leading a group, which includes himself. Matthew 26, 47 tells us this. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And that brings us to the story of Malchus. And I've already read part of it here, but I'm going to read Luke 22, 47 through 51 again. So you bear with me on this because I want to make sure we get this down. And while he yet spake, a multitude, and then he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear, and he healed him. John 18, 4 through 11. I'm going to read that again also. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell on the ground. Take a time out right there, and I want you to look at something right there. When it says, as soon then as he said unto them, I am he. Do you notice in your Bible that he is italicized? You see that in there? You know what that means? That was they added later. What Jesus actually said was, I am. Where have you heard that before? Folks, if you go over to Exodus, I believe where it is, and God was talking to Moses, he said, you tell them that I am has sent you. I want you to know, when Jesus Christ said I am, he was telling them I am God in the flesh. That's what he was telling them. And you know what? It tells me that they fell down. Why? Because they were in the presence of Almighty God. That's why, and I want to tell you something here this morning. Whenever you get in the presence of God, you will change. Amen? You will change when you get in the presence of God. You can't help but to get on your knees. You can't help but to fall down when you truly get in the presence of I am. And he goes on to say, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou givest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Lord has given me, shall I not then drink? Are they, you know what? Praise God. Listen, after this all, after they fell down, after they got up, there was a scuffle, and Peter pulled out his sword and cut off that man's ear, cut off a man named Malchus' ear. You see, and Jesus rebuked him. And you know what? The incident involving Peter and Malchus is important because of this, because it has real world implications to us if we really want to look into it and dig into it deep enough. We'll see that. We see part of the story. Listen to me. It was important enough. Some people may say this is not important. It's not just part of the big picture. But it was important enough that the Holy Spirit had them recorded in all four Gospels. Do you know that? It's in all four. It's in Matthew 26:5. It's in John 18:10. It's in Mark 14:47. And it's in Luke 22:5. They all tell this story. How that Malchus was just doing his job and Peter pulled out his sword and cut off his ear. He was a servant. Malchus was just a servant of Caiaphas. That's what he's doing. What it means was that he's a representative for him. The key to the story, though, is found in 22:51, and it said Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye this far." He touched his ear and he healed him. We often talk about different miracles in the Bible whenever we're talking about miracles of Jesus Christ, but for some reason we fail to mention this one very often. Have you ever noticed that? But I want you to know something. This miracle here is just as important as the first miracle Jesus performed. What was it? He turned the water into wine. Remember that? That's recorded. Why? Because Jesus Christ can take something that's bad and he can make it good. Amen? He took this situation that was bad. He took this situation that was bad and, praise God, he turned it into something good. That's what he did. And I want you to know something this morning. I don't know how bad the situation is in your life this morning, but I want you to know something, that if you and let Jesus Christ reach out and touch you, he can heal you of that situation, and he can take what is bad in your life and make it good. Have you ever heard the song, "For My Good and For His Glory"? God can do that. He can do that. Jesus Christ can do that. Praise the Lord. He can do that. Listen, for some reason we don't talk about this very much. We don't. We like to talk about all the other ones, but the reality of life is in this. And I want to say this. I want to ask you this morning, and be honest with yourself. If you live long enough, you are going to be wounded. Can you believe that? Someone is going to wound you. Why? Luke 17:1 tells us, "Then he said unto the disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe unto them to whom they do come." Listen to me. As you live your life, there are going to be things done to you, said to you, that are going to hurt you, are going to wound you. And folks, I'm going to get to the point here in a little bit of how we can get her taken care of. Amen? Mark it down. The longer you live and I live on this earth, you're going to have a scuffle with somebody. Right? The longer you live on this earth, you will find yourself wounded or you will wound somebody else. Can you say amen to that? People from time to time will lash out at us, just like Peter did. Like he lashed out at Malchus. I want you to know something, folks. People are going to lash out at us from time to time. Just like Peter did. You know what? That he did that. He lashed out at Mark. The thing with us today, if people don't understand us is this. We have a tendency to lash out all the time, do we not? We have a tendency to do that, but not with a sword. You know how we lash out? We can lash out with a little piece of meat that's in our mouth, right? We can do that. And listen to what Proverbs says in 12:8. "There is that speaketh like this piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Psalms 52:2. "The tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully." Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We see that someone is unwise. Listen to me. Someone is unwise in the use of their tongue sometimes. I've seen that. Chop someone down to size, they'll say. I'll chop them down to size to hurt them. You see, in your mouth is the ability to kill or to encourage. Do we understand that? We may not literally pull out a knife or a sword and lash out at somebody and give them a wound, a physical wound, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we take this little tongue of ours, sometimes the way that we talk and do things, we can cause just as much damage or more damage in the way that we do. We can do it. The tongue can cut and wound just the same or maybe even worse than a sword can. They can do it. I've seen it happen. There are times we just need to keep this sword in its mouth. Amen? There are times we just need to do it. And to say, because it is in the power and ability to destroy dreams, it has that power. Wounded individuals, you know what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The most influential member in the Drift Run Church this morning is a little member. You know who he is? It's right here. It's your tongue. That's the most influential member that I can tell you that's in this church here this morning. You know what? James 3:5 tells us, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can. There are some people who have the ability to use their tongues to destroy, to wound, and to hurt. And I want to tell you something. I have come to the conclusion that they enjoy doing it. You say amen to that? I suspect there are a countless number of people out here in this world that have no problem with Jesus. But they have a problem with some of the people that goes to his church. They have some problem with a lot of people. Because why? Because we have wielded this tongue just like a sword. And you know what? There are people hurt. There are people that some of them, if you talk to them, they hardly have anything to do with church because of that. Mark this down. Sometimes people will lash out at us, injure us, hurting us, and it's going to happen, folks. And people will do this before they even think. Have you ever known of anybody that likes to act out before they even think about what they're doing? I've seen numerous people like that. That's where the Barney Fife of the New Testament comes in. And that's Peter. Can I say that? Can I say that's where the old Barney Fife of the New Testament comes in? Because you know what? He just like Barney. Barney would just act before he'd even think anything out. And Peter was well aware of that, right? You kids know who Barney Fife is? No, I didn't figure you did. Hey, adults, raise your hand if you know who old Barney Fife is. It's Andy Griffith show. It's neither here nor there. Anyway, that's what it is. The principle of the Bible is the exact opposite. Did you guys know that? Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. When you or I do or say something before thinking about it, we become foolish. We become foolish. And that's just what Peter did. When this story I read to you about Malchus, you know what? Old Peter was thinking to himself, you know what? And Greg mentioned it a little bit earlier in his teaching. You know what? They thought that Jesus was just going to be set up as king right here. Jesus had been talking to them and talking to them how his kingdom would be set up. And it was not the way that Peter thought it would be. So Peter was acting on his own. Peter wasn't thinking about what was going on. We become a foolish and should be ashamed of ourselves. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. You see, a fool doesn't take time to understand a situation. What a fool does, he just blurts out his opinion. I bet no one here has ever known anybody like that before in your life, have you? Probably not. I'll tell you what, I've known my share of them. I've known my share of them. Unfortunately, I have. And you know what? Maybe there have been times in my life I've acted foolishly. I'll just raise my hand. Can I do that here this morning? I'll just raise my hand and testify to you. There have been times when I have run my mouth. I've talked without putting thought into it. I've done that. They just blurt out their opinions and without everything. When people are going through difficult times in their lives, folks, they need is understanding, not just your opinions. They need your love and compassion. But you know what? Not always mine and your opinions on how to fix everything. Amen? They need a well-thought-out approach of the Bible. That's the Lord's work in a person's life. Can I say it? That's the Holy Spirit's work. Is to watch. You know what? We are supposed to love. We are supposed to guide. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are the ones who can correct, who can guide and get this thing straightened out. Amen? He can do it. What we as Christians to do is to show understanding and compassion. James 1:9. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, folks. We must actively give ourselves to listening to others. People have a hard time listening today. Can I say that? They have a very hard time in listening today. It's gotten so bad. Did you know that at Harvard University, in their business degree, they have to offer a hearing class. And what I'm saying by hearing class, it is a class to where people will actively seek to listen to other people. They have to offer that with their business classes. Why? Because in this world we live in today, it has gotten so bad where people don't listen to other people. And you know what? Unfortunately, I've been guilty of that myself. People have talked to me, and they come and they talk to me. I listen to a lot of different people. I have listened to a lot of different people. And sometimes my mind is out here. It's not actively listening to what people are talking to me about. Shame on me. Shame on me. That's not the way God intended it to be. Because you know what? It would definitely help a lot of marriages today, am I right? If people would listen a little bit. We must learn to be patient. We must learn to be good listeners. Well, you can't. Okay, what do I do now that I know that I'm wounded, preacher? What do I know? Okay, listen. Just the same thing. The answer can be found in Luke 22:51. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far," and touched his ear and healed him. He healed Malchus. He healed his ear instantly. Folks, when you and I have been wounded, there's only one way to get healed right, and that's through Jesus Christ's touch. That's it. You see, the truth be told, all of us in here have been wounded. Let's just test 5 minutes in here. How many of you in here have been wounded? Just raise your hands. By words? By actions? I mean, I'll tell you, you can raise your hand and be honest with you. We've all been that way, right? I want to tell you something. The most misused little sentence that I've ever heard was, "The time heals all wounds." I'm here to tell you that's not always true. You tell me you've been wounded by someone, and you tell me that time heals all wounds. It does not heal all wounds. There's only one way that all wounds are healed, and that is through Jesus Christ and the touch of Him. That's it. That's another. I'm here to say it does. Only Jesus can do that. You may be saying, I've been scarred, preacher. I know. I bear scars. We all bear scars. You know what the greatest thing about a scar is? That means that the wound is healed. We bear scars. All of us bear scars of things that happened in our life. Do you know that our Savior bears scars? Do you know that? That can be found over in John 20:24-28. And you know the story. I ain't going to read the whole thing. But what did Thomas say? "I will not believe unless I could" what? "I could touch the nail prints in thy hand and touch that, touch any side." And Jesus appeared to him. And what did he say? "Touch him." That's why they say the only thing made by man in heaven is going to be what? The nail prints and the scars in the hands of Jesus. Right? Have you ever heard that song? I'll tell you what, that's the only thing. I'll tell you what, these are scars that you and I put there. I told you that earlier. These are the scars we did. Because Jesus bears His scars, I want you to know, me and you can bear the scars that we have to face in this life because of Him. Scars are a sign of healing. They always have been. I'll tell you what happens though. We are wounded. Somebody wounds us. And you know what we do? We keep picking at the scab. Am I right? We keep picking at it. Oh, you know what? Sister so-and-so here, she wounded me. And you keep picking at it. You keep telling people, I pick at it. You know what? I'm not going to let that go. And you know what? If you keep picking a scab, what's going to happen? That thing isn't going to heal, is it? It's not going to heal. You could get infection in it. You can get all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff can happen. And you know what? That's why I tell you we need to let Jesus have His way. Because you know what? The infection of hate, the infection of bitterness, and even depression can set in. And you know what? It'll stop the healing process, and you won't heal, and maybe you'll never heal at all. If you do not let Jesus touch it and heal it and let it heal, I want to tell you something here this morning, brothers and sisters. Folks, there's a lot of people who have wounds. There's a lot of people that have it. And I want you, can you believe there's a difference between a scab and a wound? Amen? The scab's a sign that it's trying to heal. You know what? And the scar, I'm talking about a scab and a scar, and the scar shows you that it's already been healed. And you know what? My grandmother used to say something to me whenever I would get upset and get mad and still and think about things all the time and let it eat at me. She just said this, and you know this. Let it go. Let it go. Can you believe that this morning? Somebody's wounded you. Somebody's hurt you bad. The wound may be deep. Somebody's cut you down to size. And you're thinking in yourself, and you keep letting it fester up, and you keep picking at it. And you say, listen, you know what? I can't. This thing's just eating at me. Through Jesus Christ, let it go. Let it go. follow this. Also, even the best followers of Jesus Christ can cause trouble. How many of you agree that Peter was a strong follower of Jesus? Amen? I believe Peter's a strong follower. Listen to me. The very best, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, the church members that go to church all the time, you know what? Those people can hurt you. I can't say that I haven't hurt people in my past. I can't. I can't say that. I would be lying to you if I told you that I haven't. I have hurt people. Maybe by things I've said, maybe by actions I've done as a preacher. And maybe you can stand here this morning and you know that too. But you know why? It's because, you know, the devil likes to use all manner of things. And I'll tell you, if he can use me, and you know what happens? What happens is, whenever somebody like that hurts you, that's the thing right there. You say, well, I'm not going to go back to that church anymore because that preacher hurt me. I'm not going to go back to that church before because somebody in that church has said something to me that has hurt me deeply. Shame on them. I'll say that first. But I want to tell you something. Let Jesus touch you. Let the wound start to heal. Take and don't keep picking at that scab. It may have been something that happened 20 years ago. Or may have happened yesterday. Don't keep picking at it. Because I'm going to tell you why. Turn it over to Jesus Christ. Turn it over to Him. Let Him have it. Let Him have it. The only one. The only one that can take care of this problem. Listen to me. Peter, his very best, was pretty rough. Am I right? Peter at his very best was a rough character. Matthew 22:31-33. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and then thou shalt convert it and strengthen my brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. That was Peter speaking right there. And you know what Peter was more or less he was saying in a roundabout way? I'm the best follower you've got, Jesus. I'm the one. You take Judas, for instance. He's over the treasury. He's taking advantage of his position. And you know what? Old Matthew, he's just a politician. And Thomas, he's kind of full of doubt. And old John, he just preaches all this love message all the time, which isn't going to get us anywhere. But if you want somebody who's going to stick with you, it's me, Lord. That's what Peter was saying in a roundabout way. Jesus set him straight real fast. He said, Satan's got you in his crosshairs, Peter. And you know what? It wasn't long till he was proved right. It wasn't long till he was proved right. You know what, folks? There's none of us in here this morning. None of us in here this morning that is above and beyond hurting someone, wounding someone. Just like Peter did with Malchus there. Lashing out. And you know what? We can make the wound. That's why I'm telling you, folks. You may have been hurt by the church. Satan used him to lash out and wound you. Someone in church has lashed out and cut you deep. Someone you deeply respected. It's in the healing hands of Jesus, folks. That's where you can find relief. That's where you can find comfort. Not going about and leaving the church. Do we understand there's a satanic work also here? Just like when Peter did what he did, Satan was at work in Luke 22:53. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. But Jesus said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. You know what? Our real adversary is not the person beside you. You heard me preach just a couple weeks ago. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your neighbor. The real adversary is the devil. That's who it is. And just as you see, Peter was Malchus. Malchus wasn't Peter's adversary. Or Peter wasn't Malchus's adversary. It was the devil that was working. Remember this. When someone lashes out to you, it's important that we don't lash back in the same way. It's important that we don't do that. It is important that we don't do that. Our battle is spiritual. And that battle cannot be won with guns, knives, or swords. Or it cannot be won with this mouth sometimes, the way that we like to use it. We need to use spiritual weapons. 1 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, God can bring healing and victory through, He cannot bring healing and victory through man-made weapons. He can only bring them through spiritual weapons, and He will do that for us. And folks, it's time the evangelical church learned this lesson. Am I right? I think I preached to you here a couple weeks ago about some stuff, but you know what? It's time we learned a lesson. We would rather take up swords to go against these problems that are in America today than to take up the spiritual weapons that we need to take up that we can make a real difference in this country today. We'd rather do that. You see, and we cannot win these battles with carnal weapons. Remember this. When someone lashes out to you and the cut is deep, you can overcome it because why? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, folks. I'm about done, but I hope you get the point of the lesson this morning. Listen to me. Peter lashed out at Malchus. He lashed out at him. He cut off his ear. And you know what? Jesus told him, He said, "You stand back and I'll take care of it." I want you to know something this morning. If you're hurt here this morning, if you've been lashed out, if you've been cut upon and you're wounded hearts and you're deep. And I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you stand this morning, but I know this. Jesus is saying, stand back and let me touch and heal. And that's what He'll do. That's what He will do as they come and get us on this morning.